Now, welcome again to our study in the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew, as we have said before, is a teaching gospel. It's full of truths. And this is particularly true in Matthew 26 that we're going to look at now. And we're going to divide Matthew 26 into basically two parts. And in this session, we will look at verses 1 to about verse 46, something like that. It's so full of good truths. And we are at a situation in the life of Jesus that he has, given all the truths concerning the second coming. And now we look at his betrayal. We look at chapter 26, and after Jesus had finished all the sayings and teachings to the disciples, he said, you know that after 2 days is the feast of Passover. Now, one of the amazing things in the life of Jesus was that it was so well ordered. In other words, it wasn't haphazard at all. And he would consistently mention this fact, that his hour had not yet come. He knew when he had to be crucified, because he had to be crucified on this particular feast of Passover. Why? Well, you see, there are the 7 feasts of the Lord. The first one is Passover, the next one is unleavened bread, then there's the first fruits, then there's Pentecost, then there's the blowing of trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and tabernacles. Now, in a certain sense, Jesus has to fulfill this feast of Passover as well as the other feasts. And this feast of Passover meant that he was the Passover lamb. In fact, the Apostle Paul mentions that and says, Jesus, our Passover. What does that mean? What is the thought of the Passover? Well, it goes back to the land of Egypt. And when they were going to come out of Egypt, before the last plague, which was the slaying of the firstborn, then God gave a commandment to Moses and said, each household was to take a lamb and slay that lamb and put the blood on the lintels and the doorposts. And when the destroying angel came through the land of Egypt, when he saw the blood, he would pass over. There would be no judgment there. And so, you see, they were saved by this Passover lamb, the blood of that lamb. Well, a lamb cannot be compared to a man. And so it was symbolic of a greater sacrifice, the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, the Son of God. And he was to become this Passover lamb. And so you see, in chapter 26, he makes mention of the fact, you see, well, the Passover is 2 days away, and he had to be crucified then. He had to be slain then, because he was the Passover lamb. And when we accept Christ as our Savior, and we ask him to come into our hearts, then he washes us by his precious blood. And as we walk in the light, as he is in the light, then the blood of Jesus is constantly cleansing us from all sin. So it's a very important truth here. And I want to indeed mention this again, that we are saved by this Passover lamb. And the Passover lamb is the Lord Jesus Christ. All those lambs that were slain from the time of the Exodus up until the time when Jesus came here at this particular Passover, well, all illustrating a truth. But they were not the truth. The truth was Jesus Christ. So I want to invite you to consider before we go on, you know, have you asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart? Are you walking in the light as he is in the light? Is the blood of Jesus cleansing you from all sin? Because we are saved by the blood of the Lamb. And the Lamb is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now then, he brings out another point and says, you know, I'm about to be betrayed. I'm about to be betrayed. I don't know if you've ever experienced betrayal, but you're not in the ministry long before there's some, shall I say, situation where you are betrayed by those whom you thought were your firm friends. Well, there's a purpose in betrayal. And let me try and explain it this way. You see, we are called to have fellowship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And in a sense, you can only have, shall I say, fellowship when you've passed through similar experiences. Well, the Father created all the angels, and the most wondrous of his creation was Lucifer. Well, Lucifer was ordained to lead worship in heaven and to worship the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But Lucifer became proud, and he wanted worship to come to him. And he persuaded one third of the angels in heaven to follow him and to rebel against God. Now, during this time of the rebellion, you know, you can imagine a situation with the Father. You know, the betrayal, his heart broken. And so you see, in order to have fellowship, true fellowship with the Father, we have to know betrayal. And that is why Judas was ordained to betray the Lord Jesus Christ. And please don't feel sorry for Judas, because in Psalm 109, we find what a wicked man he was. He loved cursing. He hated blessing. He was covetous. He was a thief. No, please don't feel sorry for him. No. Jesus said it was better that that man had never been born. But Jesus had to experience betrayal so that he could have fellowship with the Father. And we ourselves, you know, are brought into situations where we are betrayed so that we might know the heart of the Father and have true fellowship in his sufferings. Well, we move on, and now we find in verse 6 of chapter 26 that Jesus was in Bethany, which is a little town on the Mount of Olives, and in the house of Simon the leper. And a woman comes with an alabaster box filled with precious ointment. Now, one gospel does not give the full story. And we have to go to other gospels, the other three gospels, to get the complete story here. But that alabaster box was filled with an ointment called spikenard. Now, the importance of that truth is this. The spikenard is a type of peace. And so when she broke the alabaster box over Jesus and the spikenard, you know, flowed out, she was indeed, shall I say, anointing the one who is called the Prince of Peace, the Prince of Peace. And the other disciples were very upset. And we look at some of the other Gospels, and in particular it was Judas. And he made some very interesting statements. He said this could have been sold for 300 pence. Now, these words are in the Gospel for all time for a purpose. And 300 is a very interesting number. 300 means walking with God. And so what in effect this anointing did was to confirm, here is the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ, who walks with God. And that same peace that he has, he wants to permeate our very being, so that we enjoy the peace of God that passeth all understanding. You know, what he is, we can be too, as we fellowship with him. Well, we move on. And we come to the fact that in verse 14, we have a view of what's happening at the high priest's palace. Judas is indeed negotiating with those wicked priests to betray Jesus. And he says, well, how much will you give me? Well, they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. 30 pieces of silver. And I want to say this, that all these things that happened, you know, are recorded in the Old Testament. And we are told, you know, in the prophets, that indeed long before, or several hundred years before, Jesus was betrayed, you know, he mentions 30 pieces of silver. In other words, everything that happened in the life of Jesus had already been prophesied. Now, no other founder of a religion has such a detailed, meticulous, shall I say, portrayal of his life hundreds of years before he's born. Why? Because the others, you know, do not come from God. But here is Jesus who comes from God, the Son of God. And so the Father can indeed describe in the minutest detail the things that are going to happen in the life of his Son. And so for 30 pieces of silver, they covenanted and they agreed that he would betray Jesus to them. So now we come to verse 17, and in verse 18, he makes his statement, my time is at hand. You know, Jesus protected his life when they were seeking to throw him over the cliff at Nazareth. He saved himself. He just walked through the midst and they couldn't touch him. Why? Because, you see, he had to die at a certain time, at a certain place. And he had to die in Jerusalem, where the sacrifice for the Passover lamb was made. And he had to die at the time of the Passover. And so now he knows his time is at hand. And so it's the Last Supper. And with joy he said, I have desired to eat this with you. And so there they are, they're preparing supper, and they all sit down to eat. And now Jesus, in verse 21, is revealing to them the fact that one of them will betray him. One of them will betray him. And, of course, they're very sorrowful. And I have noticed in life, you know, the long ministry God has given me, about 60 years, that the righteous, you know, are always, shall I say, very sensitive and very aware that they could perhaps, you know, err from the path of righteousness, and they have a certain guilt consciousness. Well, all these disciples came and said to him, Lord, is it I? And then he answered, he said, well, look, he that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. And then, the Son of Man goeth as it is written of him. But woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. You know, I've had visions of hell and so forth, but this particular vision was not given to me. I want to make that very clear. It was given to me, by someone who had the actual vision. And it was very interesting. There in hell, Judas is in a certain room, and Jesus is saying to Satan, leave him alone. When my time comes, I will ordain the judgment for him. But this brother said, well, he looked at Judas, and Judas was constantly lifting up himself and saying, I have betrayed him, and then collapsing in a corner. You know, one of the terrible things in eternity is this, that if you don't go to heaven, you go to hell. And in hell, your predominant sin is, if I could say, recorded on a metal that does not melt in the terrible fire of hell. And for Judas, it was betrayal. And that is what he will suffer for when the time comes for the ultimate judgment. But please, you know, having seen hell, it's so terrible. Please, I plead with you, live a life of righteousness, covered by the blood of Jesus, so that you go to heaven and will not perish. Well, Judas then comes to Jesus and said, well, is it I? Well, he knows full well it is him. And Jesus said, thou hast said. And he said, you know, another gospel, what you have to do, do quickly. Always Jesus was in command. Well, he now takes the bread and says, take, eat, this is my body, broken for you. And then he takes the cup and gave thanks, said, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, but it's shed for many for the remission of sins. And so here is the institution of the Holy Communion, and one of the purposes of the Holy Communion that we partake of in church, at least once a month, if not more, is to remember his life and his death. That is the purpose. And then he goes on to say that this particular night, all his disciples will be offended and they will be scattered. But after I'm risen, after the resurrection, he said, I'll meet you in Galilee. Well, Peter then says, though all these others be offended, he said, I will not leave thee. Then in verse 34, Jesus said, oh no, well, he said, before the cock crows, you will have denied me thrice or three times. And Peter says, no, I won't. Well, we now come, they've come out of the place where they hold the Last Supper, and they're moving across out of the Kidron Valley and coming up the Mount of Olives, and about halfway up, there is the Garden of Gethsemane, which is really means the olive press. And here he takes his disciples, Peter and James and John, and prays. Well, they fall asleep, but he is now fighting perhaps one of the most difficult battles, if not the most difficult battle of his life. Luke tells us that his forehead broke and great drops of blood came from his forehead. He was contesting the powers of evil that were trying at the last moment to deflect him from going to the cross. But there was something else. And we are told that there was a cup that the Father wanted the Son to drink of. Now, what was this cup? Well, this cup was filled with all my sin, your sin, and all the sin of the world. In other words, he had to take that cup and he had to become sin in order that he could die, because he was a spotless one. And death hath no power except over sin. And here was a sinless one who could not die because he was perfect. And so in order to die, he had to become sin. And here is the spotless one, and the Father saying, look, Son, you have to drink and receive this sin so that you could be judged for the sin of the world. Well, Jesus was crying out, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, but if not, not my will, but thine be done. And so the spotless one became sin for us. And then he comes back, his disciples are asleep, and he says, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. He said, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And isn't that true? You know, our flesh is very weak, and so we have to pray very much indeed, you see. And now he says this, behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. Now this is a very interesting situation. You see, in this Garden of Gethsemane, it was dark. And in those days, of course, it was lit by lamps that people held. And Jesus is now seeing the multitude, about 1,000 people, under Judas, that are coming out to take him. Now, I had a vision of this, and the interesting thing is this, that it was dark. And Jesus could have easily slipped away and they would not have found him. But, you see, all scripture had to be fulfilled. And so he goes out to meet the people that are coming to take him. He could have saved himself easily. But I saw in this vision that he actually leapt out from, some of these trees and bushes there and says, look, whom do you seek? Whom do you seek? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Now, in the other Gospels, it's very interesting indeed. He said, I am that I am. And they fell down backwards because they could not stand before the revelation of the name of God, the name that was given. When Moses was at the burning bush, he said, what is thy name? He said, I am that I am. In other words, there's nobody but me. And God, made that statement to Moses, and now Jesus is doing the same thing to the crowd that had come out. He said, whom do you seek? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And he says in John's Gospel, I am that I am. In other words, he's saying, I'm God. And they fell down backwards. They could not stand before the revelation of the holy name of God. And you see, the interesting thing is this. They all fell down. And he had to let them get up in order that they could take him. And so he was always in command. Always in command. And that's a wonderful thing. You know, if you walk with Jesus, you know there's that authority, that sense of his presence. And it doesn't matter in what situation you're in, you can always be in command. And that was the truth concerning, you know, the betrayal. It was the truth concerning all the aspects of his life. He was in complete control. And God wants you to be in complete control of your life. And that will happen as you give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. And his blood cleanses you. And there will be that sense that you're walking with the King of Kings. And that everything is subjected to you. And that you will triumph in every situation, as did the Lord. May God bless you, and may you partake of the overcoming life of the Lord Jesus Christ, who in every situation was the master, and he wants you also to be overcoming, more than a conqueror in Christ. God bless you. And receive Jesus as your Savior.